السلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي يجيبني حين أناديه ويستر علي كل عورة وأنا أعصيه ويعظم النعمة علي فلا أجازيه. نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما. نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية. من يهدي الله فهو المهتدي ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على جميع الأنبياء والمرسلين والأوصياء والصديقين وعترة نبيك الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين وأصحابه المنتجبين ومن تبعهم بإحسان وإيمان إلى يوم الدين. عباد الله، أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. قال ربنا العزيز في كتابه الكريم، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، وأن هذا صراطي مستقيما فاتبعوه ولا تتبعوا السبل فتفرق بكم عن سبيله ذلكم وصاكم به لعلكم تتقون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. There are two types of dangers that Islam as a religion, as a culture, faces in the Muslim societies, among or within the Muslim communities and societies. One of these dangers is secularism, trying to marginalize religion, push it to the corner, trying to separate religion from life, from all the spheres of life, trying to tell the people that religion has a negative role. Look at what is happening, the bombings, the terror that takes place in the name of religion. So it's better to stay away from religion because religion is the cause of tension. This is one danger that we face in some societies. People try to dissociate themselves from religion because they think that religion is the cause for backwardness, the cause for discord and dissent in the human societies. That's one danger. However, there is another type of danger that we face by some practicing Muslims. Muslims who believe in Islam, Muslims who are faithful, Muslims who are practicing, Muslims who go to the mosques, establish the five daily prayers, adhere to other teachings of Islam. But this danger is different from the first one. The danger here is to focus on ceremonial, what I call it ceremonial Islam. The Islam of rites and rituals only. The Islam that has no spirit. The Islam that has no message. The Islam that has no essence, no core. Focusing on the shell and neglecting the core, the essence. How is that? In every ibadah, my friends, every single item of ibadah that we practice, an act of worship, there are two sides. Two sides. There is the inner and the outer. Take the prayers, for instance. And both the inner and the outer are important. But some people focus their attention, they concentrate on the outer, not the inner. While sometimes the inner is more important than the outer. Take the prayers, for instance, salat. The external part of the salat, the outer side of the salat, is the ruku' and sujood, qiyam and qu'ud, standing, bowing, prostration. This is the physical side of the salat. However, the inner side of the salat, the essence, the jawhar, the core of the prayers, is what the Holy Quran says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. The essence of salat is the salat that forbids me, controls me, deters me against shameful acts, evil act. The core of the salat again is mentioned in Surah Al-Mu'minun. الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَشِعُونَ. So the message of the salat, the spirit of the salat, the value of the salat is khushu', humility before Allah, submission before Allah, surrenderance, taslim. That's the message of sujood. Why do we do sujood? One time I was speaking to a Christian friend at a conference. He said, at the church, we kneel down before the cross. But you guys, you do something further. Why do you do that? I said, we don't only kneel down or bow, we put the forehead on the ground as a gesture of complete surrenderance, absolute submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nothing, no physical gesture is greater than this or deeper than this. That you put your forehead, the most honorable place in your body is your head, your forehead. You put it on dust to say, Ilahi, my Lord, I surrender to you. You are my boss. You are my leader. You are my supervisor. I have no one in this universe other than you. This is the spirit of salat. To surrender to him, to his will, to his destiny, to his teachings, to his leadership. That's the spirit of the salat. However, unfortunately, some people, they take care of the external, but they neglect the internal. They take care of their wudu, their qiyam, their qu'ud, the bowing, the prostration, to do the salat on time, exactly on time. But when it comes to the spirit of humility and submission before God, they forget about it. They forget about this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says the true Islam is when you submit to Prophet Muhammad and you don't argue with him. Even if you don't like him. Even if you don't like what he says. Even if what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he says does not make sense to you. Does not make sense to you. Still you have to submit to him. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ حَتَّى يُحَكِّمُوكَ فِي مَا شَجَرَ بَيْنَهُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَجِدُوا فِي أنفسهم حرجا مما قضيت ويسلموا تسليما. They should not even have even small heart feeling when it comes to you and submitting to you. They have to submit wholeheartedly, not just submit physically, submit with their heart. That's the true Islam. This is the spirit of salat. Now, do we adhere to this? When we do the five daily prayers, how many of the Muslims who do five daily prayers, they believe in this, that they have to submit to Allah? How many? What's the percentage? The same thing when we come to another ibadah, siyam, fasting. The outer side of siyam is to refrain from eating and drinking. But that's not the message of siyam. That's a prelude. Muqaddama, introduction for the true siyam. The true siyam is about self-restraint. The true siyam, fasting, is about self-control. So refraining from eating and drinking from food and a drink is not the ultimate objective or goal of the fasting. The ultimate objective or goal, Allah says, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الصِّيَامُ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. So you may attain self-restraint. That's the message of Siyam. To be able to say no to yourself before saying no to others, I have to have the courage to say no to my desire. That's the real Siyam. The message of hijab, the outer side of hijab, is a piece of a cloth, which is available today, everywhere. Piece of a cloth, no more than that. But is this the message of hijab, to put a piece of a cloth to cover the hair? The message of hijab, the inner message of hijab, the essence of hijab, the internal side of hijab, is the message of chastity. Message of self-honor and self-respect. The message of dignity. The message of modesty. The message of moral behavior. Some young women, they think that once she put the hijab and she covers her hair, that's it, she's done. She can behave in any way she likes. That's not true. That's not true. The value of the hijab is not with this piece of cloth called veil or chador or abaya or whatever. It's not. The message of hijab is moral behavior. How you carry yourself in the community, in the society. How you present yourself before men or women or others or Muslims or non-Muslims. How to protect the value of what God has given you, the body that God has given you. How do you protect it? How do you maintain it? Do you cheapen yourself? Do you display yourself? Do you think that you are only a physical object and you have to entertain people when they look at you? Or you have another message? Definitely you have a bigger message than the physical side. But the message of hijab has been misunderstood by many Muslims. In many Muslim communities. They think that it's only a piece of a cloth, and once she observes that, she's done. There is no more duty. There is no more responsibility. The message of hijab is behavior for men and women, both. For men and women. Is your behavior, is your modesty, your chastity, how to interact with the opposite gender, how do you approach them, how do you respect them? That's the message of hijab. The same thing with the message of, with the ibadah of zakat. Zakat is donation. People think that when I put the money in the box, I am done. Alhamdulillah, I did my zakat. But that's not the real message of zakat. That's the outer side. The outer side when you write the check. Inshallah, don't forget to write the check Saturday, huh? For mid-Sha'ban. This is commercial break, you know. Yeah. So, the outer side is when we pay the money. But the real message of zakat is mentioned in the Qur'an. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Listen to the Holy Qur'an. Ya Rasulallah, take, charge them money. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ. Part of their money, take it. خُذْ مِنْ أَمْوَالِهِمْ صَدَقَةً. As a donation, contribution. تُطَحِّرُهُمْ بِهَا وَتُزَكِّيهِمْ. You purify them. It's about tazkiyah. How is that? Allah says, you love this money. You work very hard to make this money. Now that I know you love this money, you try to protect this money, I'm asking you to give me this money. To give me part of it, 10%, 20%, whatever. Give it to me. Through this giving, if you give it voluntarily, with love, not without love, with conviction, you're going to purify yourself, tazkiyah. How is that? You're going to detach yourself from the maddiyat, materialism, from the dunya. And the more we detach ourselves from this dunya, the cheap dunya, the higher we're going to go. The bigger we're going to grow. The more resistance we have against the dunya, against the intimidations of the dunya, the temptations of the dunya, the desires of the dunya. The more gap we can put between our souls and ourselves and dunya, the bigger we grow. And the stronger we become, dunya weakens us. Listening to dunya, obeying dunya, following dunya, desiring dunya, dreaming about dunya is going to weaken our spiritual system. So you have to have this power of resistance. You say, yes, I do love this money. I worked hard for this money. But for the sake of a higher goal, I give part of it, zakat. And the meaning of zakat, my friends, you know the meaning of zakat in Arabic. What's the meaning of zakat in Arabic? Purification. Purification. Zakat means tazkiyah. Comes from tazkiyah, and tazkiyah is purification. Allah says, by donation, by contribution, you are going through the process of tazkiyah and a purification. But let me ask you, how many people pay attention to this? Even those who pay zakat, let alone those who don't pay. Even those who pay zakat, they don't pay attention to this. That this is a process of purification when I pay. When I pay to the poor, to the disadvantaged, for healthcare, for education, for orphanage, for hospital, for safety and security of my community, for religion, I'm purifying myself. I'm becoming a responsible member in the community. So these are the two sides of ibadah. The outer side, which is necessary and important, but what is more important is the inner side. What is more important is the essence of ibadah. The essence of ibadah. Let me give you another example. We have it in societies who follow Ahlul Bayt. You know, during Muharram and Ashura, they commemorate. The outer side of these commemorations of Imam Hussein is sadness, is sympathy with Ahlul Bayt, solidarity with Ahlul Bayt, saying to them, we stand with you, we are together in this pain. But the inner side of it is what? Inner side of it is to spread the message of Imam Hussein. The message of Imam Hussein is the same, exactly the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. The message of the Prophet is about enlightening, bringing guidance to mankind. Bringing resurrection. استجيبوا لله وللرسول إذا دعاكم لما يحييكم. Allah is inviting you for your life, for your existence, for your happiness. Whatever He asks you to do, like a father and a mother, caring parents, who ask their kids to study well, to behave well, it's for their own advantage. The same thing Allah says. استجيبوا لله. Respond to God. وللرسول His apostle. إِذَا دَعَاكُمْ once they invite you لِمَا يُحْيِيكُمْ to your resurrection, to your resurrection. But unfortunately, many people, they get embroiled in rituals. In rituals during Muharram, they forget about the main message of Imam Hussein. The message of education. The message of sacrifice. A universal message for mankind. Imam Hussein is a universal message for mankind, but we, some of us, through our narrow-mindedness, we confine him within our own circles. We don't allow him to go out. So when someone, strangers, he looks at what we do, he says, no, I don't want to be part of this. Leave me alone. Leave me alone. Does that mean Imam Hussein is bad? His message is bad? No, his message is good. We are not good ambassadors. We don't represent Ahlul Bayt, Imam Hussein, the Holy Quran, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in a way that we can attract others. So remember, my brothers and sisters, two are important. The outer shape of Islam and the ibadat is important, definitely. But what is more important is the inner essence, the inner message of every ibadah that we conduct. There is a message. There is a message. Allah said to Bani Israel, He said to them, Ya Bani Israel, this is in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2. Enjoy working 6 days. Earn money 6 days. I am asking you on the Sabbath to take some break and spend some time with your kids, with your families. Life is not about just working, working, working. Life is about relationship. Life is about building others. Life is about sharing. Life is about enjoying your family and teaching them. Some of them, because they had so much greed, they said, okay, we are not going to fish on Saturday, but we go there and we put the nets. You know the nets? We put them in the sea. We don't approach them on Saturday. So the fish would come on Saturday. They get entangled in these nets. We don't touch them. We come on Sunday. We fish them. We take them out. Because we are not working on Saturday. Allah said, no, you are cheating on me here. You are cheating. When I said don't work, I meant don't work. Spend the whole time with your families. Don't think about business anymore. I'm providing you 6 days. You have enough money. So don't waste your time. I want you to spend every minute with your families. But because they did not understand the message of their religion, they were cheating. This is exactly what many Muslims they do. They cheat when it comes to religion. They don't pay attention to the essence of their religion. وَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا فَاتَّبِعُوهُ وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلَ فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ ذَلِكُمْ وَصَّاكُمْ بِهِ لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين. الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونسبحه ونقدسه على آلائه ونعمائه ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إلها واحدا أحدا فردا صمدا قيوما نؤمن له بالربوبية ونقر له بالعبودية ونشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وترحم على محمد وآل محمد كأفضل ما صليت وسلمت وباركت وترحمت على إبراهيم وآل إبراهيم في العالمين إنك حميد مجيد. وصل اللهم وسلم على خلفاء نبيك وأوصيائه وأهل بيته وأحبته علي أمير المؤمنين وقائد الغر المحجلين وعلى البضعة الطاهرة فاطمة الزهراء سيدة نساء العالمين وعلى سبطي نبي الرحمة وسيدي شباب أهل الجنة الحسن والحسين عليهما السلام وعلى علي بن الحسين ومحمد بن علي وجعفر بن محمد وموسى بن جعفر وعلي بن موسى ومحمد بن علي وعلي بن محمد والحسن بن علي والخلف الهادي المهدي عجل الله تعالى فرجه وسهل مخرجه وجعلنا من أنصاره وأعوانه. عباد الله أوصيكم وأوصي نفسي بتقوى الله ولزوم أمره. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله العلي العظيم. In every marital life, there are two types of needs. One are the material needs. The second are the spiritual and moral needs. But we can find that the moral and spiritual needs of the marriage or the marital life or the family is much more important than the physical and material needs. Material needs, though they are important, but they are passing. they bring superficial stability. They are cosmetics. They do not bring real stability or real harmony or real togetherness. Wealth by itself. Wealth without akhlaq, without commitment, cannot help. The best mansion, the best palace, best type of foods, entertainment, services, amenities, they cannot help the marriage without commitment, without akhlaq. What really can sustain marriage for a long period of time and make it fruitful, stable, peaceful, productive, make it a happy life, a happy family, are moral commitments. Moral commitments. The akhlaq of the both sides, the husband and the wife, their akhlaq, their spirit, their commitment, taking marriage serious, taking marriage as a moral responsibility. This is what makes the difference. This is what makes marriage beautiful and the house beautiful. You have seen, and we live in America, we live in Southern California, we live not far from Hollywood. People of Hollywood and others and the entertainment business and industry and the movie industry, look at their life. They are supposed to be our role model. You know, we get fascinated by them. Wow, look at him, look at her. But if you go inside their life, it's something different. It's a different picture. Why? Because money by itself, without akhlaq, does not help. Not only does not help, it is going to be a bad element. It's going to destroy rather than building. It is the akhlaq and the commitment of the husband and the wife, not the decoration. What decorates, what ornaments, what beautifies marriage and the house is the akhlaq, is the behavior. Behavior of both sides, both the husband and the wife. When they commit themselves into this institution, when they treat this institution as something sacred, when they know that they're going to stand before their Lord tomorrow and they have to answer every question about their family. وَقِفُوهُمْ إِنَّهُمْ مَسْؤُولُونَ قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ. Where is your commitment? You've been called a father. Do you know the meaning of fatherhood? You've been called a mother. Do you know the meaning of motherhood? How much it takes to be a good mother? How much it takes to be a good father? That's what makes a difference in the marriage. The way we behave. Our forgiveness. When we are willing to forgive each other. We are willing to give concessions for the sake of the family, for the sake of our generation. That makes the marriage beautiful. Otherwise, I've been to places, a house like a museum, believe me, like a museum. But there is no happiness there. Happiness is missing. Everything is there except happiness. That's not a family. This is not a family. And sometimes you go to places so small, one-bedroom apartment, full of happiness, full of joy, full of optimism, full of care. Not because of the size or the decoration. Because of the akhlaq. Not because of the physical items in the house or the furniture. Because of the akhlaq, the commitment. The spirit of harmony. Allah says in the Quran, marriage is about harmony. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا. Magical word, لِتَسْكُنُوا. Believe me. You cannot replace it. They brought the best scholars of language, linguistics, and literature to try to replace litaskunu with something else. They could not find. They could not find a more powerful term than litaskunu. Litaskunu. To find shelter. To find harmony, togetherness. Litaskunu ilayha. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. And Allah engenders among your heart Allah is the designer. Allah is the generator. Allah is the provider. He will bring. When your marriage is for Him, also He will commit Himself for your happiness, to make your marriage stronger and healthier and more stable. وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. Compassion and mercy. This is what we need today. And these things, mawadda, compassion, mercy, forgiveness in the marriage comes from something which is bigger. The master key. And the master key for all these terms is taqwa Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taqwa Allah. Holding Him number one in your life. Committing your life, everything in your life for Him. Looking at Him before looking at other things. Taqwa Allah, relationship with Allah. That makes your marriage stronger. That draws you closer and closer to your partner and to your children and to your extended family. Taqwa Allah. If taqwa Allah is missing, sometimes I feel sorry. I feel sorry when I go to a wedding and I look at them thinking of every small detail of their wedding, the party, the dinner, the gown, the honeymoon, all small details, and they bring a wedding planner and they pay him or her whatever money. They pay attention to the smallest details. When it comes to taqwa Allah is missing. Taqwa Allah is missing. I feel sorry for that marriage. And I know what will happen to it down the road. Taqwa Allah, the most important element. Taqwa Allah Ta'ala. When someone has taqwa, muttaqi, you don't worry about him. You don't worry about her. That person fears Allah before he fears the cops or the government or the judge or the court. He fears Allah. That's enough. This is what we need in this life. Taqwa Allah. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ. Verily, there are signs in that in your marriage. لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. They use their brain. They think. They reflect. They reflect. Inshallah, on June 6th, Saturday at 8 p.m., we have the celebration of the birthday of our last Imam, the seal of the Imams and the disciples to the Prophet, Al-Imam Al-Mahdi Al-Muntadhar, Ajjalallahu Ta'ala, Farajahu Al-Sharif. Allahumma kun li waliyika al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan, salawatuka alayhi wa ala abaih, fi hadhihi al-sa'ati wa fi kulli sa'ah, waliyan wa hafidha, wa qaidan wa nasira, ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا واجعلنا اللهم من أنصاره وأعوانه. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم وحد كلمة الإسلام والمسلمين على الخير والبر والصلاح والتقوى يا أرحم الراحمين. وعجل في فرج سيدنا ومولانا صاحب العصر والزمان. And I ask you to recite سورة الفاتحة for the martyrs who were murdered today during the Friday prayers in the Dammam, the eastern province of Saudi Arabia, and also last Friday while they were doing Salatul Jumu'ah. Please remember them with Suratul Fatiha ma'a salati ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.